150 years ago, on this New Year's Day, millions of slaves in the United States awoke to a new year and a fundamentally new life. Today is the 150th anniversary of the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. To the nation in the middle of civil war, it was a risky, symbolic move forward by President Lincoln, struggling to hold the Union together. But for the individuals for whom the proclamation was written, it represented a complete transformation of every aspect of life and identity, if you even believed the proclamation or knew of its existence. Joining us now is novelist A.J. Verdell. Her forthcoming novel called Meanwhile Back at the Ranch is a work of historical fiction about the life and challenges faced by former slaves after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. Professor Verdell, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How do you think the proclamation was received 150 years ago in the midst of war and instability and a sense of who's running things in the United States?
Well, you know, I think the operative question is who's running things in the United States. I think that just like still happens today, there's a big divide between people who can make laws and people who can decide what they want to go on in the nation and the people who are affected by it. And in particular for emancipation, there's lots of information that shows that slaves didn't even hear that they had been emancipated. As the news got out, and one of the things that Lincoln did was ask Frederick Douglass to help inform African Americans that they had been freed. And so Douglass was charged with helping to get this news out, and that did contribute to more African American men in particular fleeing to join the Union Army. But for most slaves, it was as if nothing had happened.
As you describe, there were two important elements that would make the Emancipation Proclamation a reality, and they had to happen. One was, as you suggest, the slaves themselves had to believe that a law could change their lives. And number two, the slave owners had to believe that these people they owned were actually human beings, were actually part of what the Declaration of Independence was talking about. Both of those things had to happen before the Emancipation Proclamation would be anything other than symbolic.
Absolutely. And I think that there is evidence, historical evidence, that the slave owners in their articulation that Black people were not humans, that they were being profit-seeking and duplicitous. I mean, in the whole history of the slave states in the United States, lawmakers were very careful to admit states to the Union in pairs, so that every time you admitted a slave state, you also admitted a free state. And the whole point of that was to keep the lawmaking body from falling on a free side or a slave side. So they were very calculating in the government, which meant that they knew that there was something problematic about the slave system, even though Southern slave owners never would admit that. I mean, they just wanted slaves to be counted as property.
But the great irony, of course, is that that duplicity was a part of why the Emancipation Proclamation ultimately took. There was a curtain to be lifted. There was a veil that could be lifted. It wasn't as though in their guts these slave owners believed that African Americans were animals. They knew they were living a lie.
Absolutely, they knew. And there was a fascinating book called Slave Religion, and it was written for white slave owners and written by white slave owners, and it talked about how to couch the biblical terms and religious terms to have slaves sort of quoting back this vitriol and garbage that they were worth nothing and they were subject to these plantation men by the dictates of God. But one of the shocking elements of the emancipation issue is that all of these slaves were money to the plantation owners. And then once emancipation happened, these people who used to be money suddenly needed money. And so suddenly you have this legions of homeless, unreading, unlearned, disoriented people who were set loose on the soil.
How terrifying do you think that was to African Americans who understood freedom in an abstract way, but still literally feared to touch money, for they might lose their own hands?
Well, I think it was terrifying. I think it was confusing. And there was a period in the United States that is familiar to us in the Black community where people just set off looking for their parents and their children and their brothers and their sisters, people who they vaguely remembered who had the last names of the people who owned them at the time. Every time you were sold, your name was changed. And people just set off without shoes, without money, without a plan. Have you seen Jane Blake? You know, do you know Hazel Scott? And that was what motivated them. And it was just a very plaintive and sad situation that the first thing these unlearned, disoriented people could do was start to try to look for people that they had either birthed or started their lives with.
An extraordinarily long journey that began for so many 150 years ago, at least 150 years ago. A.J. Verdell is a novelist and professor of creative writing at Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.